This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. Sometimes a pathogen is just a pathogen, but often it also creates an opening to talk about underlying problems. When it comes to disasters, very often that problem is climate change. And so it is with Zika. That's because our warming world is contributing to ideal breeding conditions for the Aedes aegypti mosquito, which carries Zika, as well as dengue and chikungunya. David Hassemeyer, a staff writer for Inside Climate News, reported this week on how climate change has been expanding the mosquito's range.
We found numerous scientific studies, numerous public health officials, scientists, as well as anecdotally a couple of vector control agencies in the United States. And in fact, that's how we introduced our story, through the eyes of a vector control officer in the Central Valley of California. The agency discovered the Aedes aegypti mosquito in 2013. It was puzzling to them because this is a mosquito whose habitat is more closely related to very warm and humid climates. And the agency kept coming back to the idea of the temperatures in the Central Valley have been steadily warming, and there has been a sustained drought. Those are two of the factors that lead to the establishment of a habitat for these particular mosquitoes.
I associate mosquitoes with standing water. Why would drought correlate with mosquito-borne disease?
The aegypti mosquito, they're called small container mosquitoes. In some of the regions where this mosquito is now very prevalent, don't have the infrastructure to provide water. People store rainwater to store whatever precious water they can, oftentimes in open containers and in barrels. Those are the types of environments where this mosquito thrives.
And it's not just the Zika virus that's showing up in unexpected places. What other infections have you been able to correlate with warming temperatures?
Lyme disease and West Nile virus. Those two have been very closely studied and tracked in parallel with warming climates. And those are often used as cautionary tales, if you will, as to why climate change has to be taken seriously.
One of the frustrations, I think, that some people have had with explaining the danger of climate change is not what the political right claims, which is that there is a global hoax and conspiracy of academics, but on the contrary, that academics are very, very slow to make the sort of definitive connections that the public can relate to. For example, tornadoes and other severe weather have very much been on the rise, which seem to correlate with climate change. By the same token, something like the Zika virus would seem to be a great opportunity for the climate community to say this issue really has great stakes for the human race. But again, all of the correlations are made with a lot of disclaimers. Can we say that climate change contributes to the Zika outbreak, full stop?
What I think science and health people can say with certainty is that climate change has to be considered one of the key elements. That's what's so important when media reports on this sort of thing. You know, for so long, the media has treated climate change and global warming kind of as if there was a debate. And there's no longer a debate. So when these sort of issues come up, they have to be reported against the backdrop of climate change certainty.
Do you have panic envy? Do you wish the climate protection community would get some sort of borrowed interest from Zika and other possible expressions of global climate change in order to, okay, not panic the public, but educate them as to the stakes here?
Well, certainly. And I mean, you know, for example, if Hurricane Katrina and Superstorm Sandy didn't get the public's attention, then nothing will. You know, those severe weather events can be traced to climate change. the issue of Zika has to be taken as an opportunity to educate the public that climate change doesn't have to be Superstorm Sandy. You know, it can be this tiny mosquito whose habitat is growing larger and encroaching, you know, in their own backyards, if you will, because the climate is warming. We don't want to cause panic. Cause that panic too often, people may start to tune you out, saying, well, there they are. They're just saying the sky is falling again. Whether it be economically, through health issues, heat waves, climate change is going to impact people of the world. We have that responsibility to explain how the world and how lives will change if immediate steps aren't taken to address the issue.
All right, David, thank you very much.
Bob, it's been my pleasure.
David Hassmeyer is a staff writer for Inside Climate News.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.